what you say.
Okay, now I'm recording. Yeah, I'm great.
Hey, I don't mind. Just
yeah.
Good. Just looking at this present point in time, the video by Super Iceland, Mantra Icelandic with English subtitles. And I was just going through some of them, and I picked this one out because at this very point in time, it's getting a bit of action, if you like.
Yeah.
And this is a brilliant example of how to really treat anti-whites, and basically to treat them with the contempt that they deserve, and never to justify. One anti-white here has just said, wow, what an idiot. I guess you never heard of a little word called colonialism. Bloody idiot. And
Could you just repeat what you said after colonialism?
Bloody idiots getting desperate, aren't we? Question mark. This is by an anti-white responding to something that a pro-white said previously. And Super Iceland has just answered, whoopee, the simpleton is justifying genocide with colonialism. A true anti-white, please give us more info about your wishes and dreams concerning the great white race. This is a perfect example. The guy put it as a question. They've been programmed to do that. He's even got a question mark. And Super Iceland has ignored the question mark, ignored the question, and just threw it right back at him. Pointed out he's justifying genocide and asked for more info. Good one. Please give us more info. Let's just sort of just talking more about dealing with anti-whites, and we've really got to start treating them with contempt. We've got to lose all the respect that, whether we know it or not, we've been subconsciously programmed to have for them. How do you think about that yourself, Adeline?
The way I view them is that I know they're anti-white, and that's how they have been trained. And that's, well, they have an anti-white mentality. So that everything they say will always be a justification for no more white people, white genocide. So I don't really have any respect for them, though.
No, I know that you don't. It's a little thing. It's just thinking about a lot of us, even though that we're on the right side and we are pro-white, a lot of us, whether we know it or not, we do still carry some baggage. I don't mean you personally. I mean, generally speaking, I know I do carry. I have to check myself sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
But we've all been subjected to millions of hours of intense psychological warfare and programming from childhood. And even though we came out on the right side and we're awake, if you like, and we are pro-white, we still subconsciously carry some baggage. And I mean, just today I was listening to the political cesspool with James Edwards. Now, he's a great guy. He's done a lot more than I ever have for this cause. He's one of the leaders and one of the best of the leaders. I heard him make a remark. He's made it before about you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. Now, I trust the guy 110%, but I just want to make a quick comment here. That's like me saying the guy who stole my car last week had a drink driving conviction. And it may be true, but it's not the issue. You know, there's no point in saying the guy who stole my credit cards has a bad credit history. So that's an example of how we can, without realizing it, still be carrying some sort of leftover programming from the relentless hours that we are subjected to from childhood and ongoing every single day. We need to get to the point. It's irrelevant if the guy who stole my car had a drink driving conviction. It's irrelevant if the person who steals my credit cards has a bad credit history. Theft is theft. Genocide is genocide. We've got to stay on the attack and never, ever justify. and just basically call these people out for what they really are repeatedly over and over again.
Yeah, we need to do that. And just, you know, what we want is the survival of our race, and what they want is the destruction of our race. And they always use justifications, like they just want to help Africans, or colonialism, or whatever. But as we all know, it's all anti-racist arguments leads towards no more white people in the world.
Yeah, and the thing about assimilation, it really is the final solution to the white problem.
Yeah.
And that's what the assimilation thing is. And we need to be very careful not to be tricked on the issue. We spoke about it before, Adelheim. I'm not at all a fan. I do not support mixed race marriages. But if an anti-white brings that up, let's just call the anti-white for what it's really about. It's not about one white girl going to Africa to marry an African. It's when you flood all white countries and only white countries with mass non-white immigration, and then push assimilation in those white countries as a kind of solution to the problem that you first created. This is a final solution to the white problem. So don't get tied down about being for or against who marries who, or
you need to step back and look at the entire picture here, because on a macro level, what's happening is that you have a group called anti-racists who want immigration, integration, and assimilation for all white countries, and they talk about a brown future, and all of their arguments leads towards a brown future, a future without white people, and that is their goal. They don't argue for immigration into Japan because Japan is not white, and you don't get rid of white people by mixing Africans with Japanese. And that's why it's only white countries, and that's what we need to explain, and that's what we're against. And then we can go back and just saying, well, it seems like you're anti-white too, because you just argued for something that leads towards a world without white people.
Yeah, and we're just going to, you absolutely agree, sort of keep on calling them on it over and over again, basically.
Yes. Because if this was just about, let's say, someone said they wanted to help Africans, well, we're not against helping Africans. If all this was about was helping Africans, we could certainly bring in 10,000 Africans and give them education and then send them back so they could help rebuild their own country. But that would help Africans. But these anti-whites are not interested in helping Africans. They don't want to. They think it's racist to send the Africans back to their own countries. So they want to integrate and assimilate. So they have no interest in. They aren't interested in helping Africans per se. They only use it as an excuse, as we all know, to do away with the white race. You follow?
Yeah, I do. It's I got an interesting comment on bugs. Let's see if I can just bring it up here. I'll try to find it. Jen Serik from Jen Serik on General Comment 6. It's presently near the bottom of the page. Here are some deflection techniques I am encountering. It's things that anti-whites are saying that just kind of throw people off topic. I must confess, they do come out with stuff that's so mind-bending. I mean, they're just doing what they've been programmed to do, and a lot of what they're doing is probably part of what was used against them during their own brainwashing. But anti-whites say things like, you are overreacting, or you're too sensitive, you take it personally. This is not about me, it's about you. You're projecting your stuff onto me. These are kind of mind-bending things that anti-whites say when you challenge them directly on what their real agenda actually is. Here's another thing. By your reaction, I can see that you have a lot of repressed anger. Why don't you deal with this with that first? This is triggering a lot of fear in you. Don't worry, once you stop being afraid, you'll see I am right. These are things from anti-whites. I remember one time years ago pointing out to an anti-white how what was happening would amount to no more white Europeans in Europe. And their response was, does that worry you or scare you?
Yeah.
And it's really amazing because the anti-whites get so emotional over what they perceive as being racism. And they will go on demonstrations, they'll take the time to attack us all over the internet on message boards, and etc., and call us racist, scream the word racism like it's even worse than murdering a child. And when you point out white genocide, suddenly they do a 180 degree flip, and it's like, well, you know, why would that worry you? Why are you afraid of that, you know?
Yeah.
And I do confess that is kind of, it's a real mindful. I give one quick possible solution to Genseric. I've written, how about telling them that you're just trying to help them because they've obviously been brainwashed? Ask them which part of the word genocide don't they understand. I'm not going to pretend that's a silver bullet, but if I'm not saying that Genseric fell into this trap. I think he's a bit better one than that. But it would be very tempting for a lot of people who still are carrying some psychological baggage from all the programming that we've all been subjected to, all the brainwashing, and to get tied down with trying to explain why they're not afraid, or trying to justify why they take it so seriously, or trying to, you know, we've got to lose our respect for these people. We've got to start treating them with the contempt that they deserve. And I'm sorry if I'm preaching to the converted here.
What type of a black man wouldn't object to that?
Yeah, or basically just ask them if they're okay with the genocide of other races too, or is it just white people they're against? And put a question mark after it if you can. I completely agree with what you're saying. One of our Scandinavian colleagues pointed out something that I wasn't aware of, which is emotion, and how anti-whites have really been brainwashed or conditioned to use emotional arguments, and we try to hit them back with logic. And I've always been aware of the emotional side of sales and stuff like that, but I never really thought of it. It's one of those things, you don't think of it until it's pointed out to you, and it becomes so obvious. There's no point in trying to be logical with these people. We've got to hit them back on the same level.
Yeah, well, I think we can be logical back. But you have to do it right. Because other people will see the logic. So, well, I did some more debating with when we had these pretend debates, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I found a way to phrase it so he couldn't really say anything.
Good. Just to explain, anybody listening to this, me and Adelheim, we took on two pro-whites who are very good pro-whites, but like the rest of us, being pro-whites, they've heard the best of the arguments the anti-whites have. And Adelheim, I think we did pretty well, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting to debate like that. And it's so easy to be anti-white because, you know, we have all been raised to have an anti-white mindset. So we all know that. So you just, basically just saying what they do.
Just sit there and go racist and prejudice, and I just believe in everyone having an equal right to everything.
So, you know, what I did, well, this is not for discussion boards. Maybe, I don't know, but he started like, you know, angrily, you know, what do you have against immigrants? I don't get it. What's wrong with people like you? You know, why do you have to go after the immigrants all the time? And I hate racists like you. No, he just said something like that.
Yeah.
And then I just said, no, I have nothing against immigrants. And then he said, well, you want to kick them out, you know, what you have against them. Then I tried to, you know, just explain, to make a point, you know, what the situation is, you know. I said, for me, it seems like you're anti-white. You talk about a brown future where everyone is to be mixed through immigration, integration, and assimilation. And you support support immigration, integration, and assimilation for all white countries. That's typical for people like you. No one is pushing for Japan to have immigration. And that's typical since Japan is not made up of white people, because you will not get rid of white people by mixing Africans with Japanese. And you know this very well, and therefore it's for all white countries.
Yeah.
And the thing was, well, the way I said it in Norwegian, which of course I'm much better in than English, he couldn't really say anything.
That's good. That's one thing I was sort of patting myself on the back for debating with a couple of Scandinavian pro-whites, and they were playing the role of being anti-whites for the purpose of the debate. But when I think about it, they were debating me in English. So I guess if I would have played a Norwegian or Swedish anti-white and tried to debate them in Scandinavian, I might not have done too well.
Yeah, you know, I did this with both of them, and when I used this technique, they couldn't say anything. They tried, but they couldn't say anything, because what they tried to do, all these anti-whites, is to say, well, I just want to help this little African girl who swam across the Atlantic to Norway, and she had, you know, I just want to be nice to her, and you want to kick them out, or kick her out. Because they want to pretend to be the good guy, and you are the bad guy.
Yeah.
So then I quickly said, well, I'm nothing against immigration, you know, per se. What I have something against is this, and then I used a short version of the mantra, immigration, integration, assimilation for all white countries, and only white countries, not Japan. And all of your arguments leads towards a brown future. And if you phrase it right, they can't really say anything. At least my experience with both of them.
Especially if you're doing it in your native Norwegian. Another thing that we did when we were practicing debating is the moment that an anti-white says something like, well, what do you have against this black African girl? At that point, they've admitted that they recognize the concept of race. Do you remember how I used that against one of our colleagues in a debate?
No.
Do you remember basically the...
Just explain.
The person who played the part of the pro-white... the person who played the part of the anti-white brought up about the... how we dispossess the Native American Indians in the United States. And
yeah, I remember, but just explain it.
And I quickly tied them down to, so you do recognize the existence of the Native American Indians, you do see them as a distinct ethnic group. And at that point you had to give up, because prior to that we'd had a few seconds of debating where he was trying to go along the lines of, when I get putting a genocide and the ethnic displacement of white people, he was pretending not to understand what race was all about. And then he made a clear distinction. He wasn't accusing the Chinese of dispossessing a non-existent social construct known as the Native American Indians.
No.
He was accusing white people of dispossessing not a non-existent social construct, but another group of people that he clearly identified on ethnic and racial grounds. And I called him on it. And I'm not saying it's always going to be that easy, but we just need to be a little aware of these tricks. Just where possible, and I know it's difficult, and I'm weary of saying too much, because I end up getting my head tied in knots in some debate in the near future, because I know this is not easy. And heaven knows I've had a few things thrown at me that are just so mind-bendingly off the wall and out there that it's like, oh hell, what? But this is something that comes along, I think, and I know I've touched upon it. It's really what I wanted to talk about tonight. When we start losing all respect for these people, and I know that we're all on the same side, we're all pro-white, we're all on board with a mantra, a consistent message, and all that stuff. But just check on yourself sometimes. Just be sure that you really are 100% contemptuous of these sick, brainwashed fools. I feel that's the next step. I'll tell you that in sales, there is a closing technique which is known as a choice close or an alternative close. And what that is, if you bear with me, I'll tie this up and give you the importance and the significance of it. I talk about sales because sales is what I know, and it's very closely related to what we're actually, a lot of the debating techniques. A choice close is when, for example, if you walked into a BMW car dealership, the BMW salesman may say something to you like, would you prefer the new 3 Series or maybe the new 5 Series BMW would suit you better? Now, that's a little trick. It's been dressed to sound like you've been given a choice. In reality, the salesperson didn't actually give you a choice, because whatever those two options you choose, the end result is the same. You just bought yourself a brand new BMW. The BMW salesman is not going to say to you, would you like to buy the new 3 Series BMW, or would you like to check out the Mercedes-Benz dealership down the road? If he gives you a choice like that, he might not have a job for very long. Now, I've been aware of that for years, but I found out just recently that in brainwashing, mind conditioning, they use an identical technique. It's the same thing, but in brainwashing, they call it a false dilemma technique. And what it is, as you know, a real dilemma is when you really genuinely only have two choices and they're both equally bad or equally good. There is the dilemma. The false dilemma technique is where in reality you have many, many different choices, but you're made to believe you only have two. So, you know, do you support mass non-white immigration into all white countries and only white countries, or are you a hate-filled white supremacist, racist Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews? And that's how, obviously I'm paraphrasing, if that's what, but that's the general false dilemma brainwashing technique that we're all subjected to. We're made to believe that you must either accept the immigration and all the rest of it, you know, the assimilation part, etc. And if we don't accept all of this anti-white agenda, then we have to be, by default, racist and haters and everything else. And a lot of times we tend to, or not us so much, definitely not so much on Bugs and people that follow Bugs and Bob Whitaker, but I see a lot on Stormfront, for example, where people genuinely seem to believe that they've got to be going the opposite direction, and it's endless talk about or endless hateful remarks about non-whites and stuff like that. And I see a lot of it. A lot of these people are equally, when someone succumbs to a false dilemma brainwashing technique, because they've succumbed to the brainwashing and they really believe it, they do end up either becoming hate-filled Nazis or pure full-on anti-white racist so-and-sos. And so a lot of people that you see that are really hardcore, these people didn't exist 150 years ago. And the reason there's a few of them out now over on the internet, etc., is the ones that are not like government spies or whatever, the real ones who are genuine, they're probably just as much a victim of a false dilemma brainwashing technique as the actual anti-whites are. But they just sort of believe the propaganda, and they've gone that direction, you know?
Yeah, okay. I haven't really thought about it that way before, but...
Well, I don't want to get too much into brainwashing and stuff like that, because it could be taken as sort of conspiracy theory, but the reality is we have all been subjected to intense psychological warfare right from childhood.
Yeah, and it's helping Africans means bringing them into white countries, integrating and assimilating them.
Yeah. So my definition, yeah. If it was all about adopting an African child and sending like £1 a month to some charity and they go and put in a water well or something in some village in Africa, you know, I mean, that's, who could argue with that? But that's not what the agenda's about, as we all know.
No. So what I did, as I said, I said what I was against and tried to explain it very briefly using the a shorter version of the mantra, not talking about black people or something, saying that anti-racists are anti-white and all their arguments leads towards a world without white people and they want a brown future, immigration, integration, assimilation. And then you can, and if you accuse the other person of being anti-white and supporting that because of what he just said, I think that's, you know, you're making points, and then you're saying that you're not against helping people or anything like that. You're against white genocide, and you explain it. So if he says something else, then you can just say, well, now you're arguing for something that leads towards a world without white people again, or white genocide. So
yeah,
whatever he says, yeah.
Pointing out that everything that anti-white says always amounts to that.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing, because then you're honest about your goals, you're making points, and we also, when we discuss and argue, we need to make points. That, so if you lose the debate, or come, at least you made points, and maybe the other side will win the debate in some way, because they, for some reason, the points we will have made will get across.
Yeah, I agree with that. And just, I know we've already spoken about it briefly, but one little thing I did find during our little mock debates, because spoken debates over the phone or face-to-face sort of thing do move a lot faster and you can get more things in and you can think. But at the beginning of any exchange, the moment an anti-white makes a reference to a little black African girl or a Native American Indian, close them down and get them to admit, even if it's just at the very beginning, that they do accept or they do recognize the existence of that particular racial group. Because then a few moments later, when you spin it around and ask them if they accept the rights of white Europeans in Europe to have their own countries, or whites in America, have their own countries, they're going to find it very difficult to back down from their original position, which is the position of someone who could clearly identify racial groups, and race as a distinct ethnic concept. Interestingly, the thing about America and the Native American Indians, I'm not an American, it's none of my business. I'm just curious about it. My attitude to that would be, well, if there's an issue there between the Native Americans and the white Americans, you don't solve the issue by giving the country that you stole off the Indians to the Mexicans. But I see so many arguments, and again, it goes back to that justifying thing, which I do believe is part of the psychological baggage that we've been subjected to. I see a lot of Americans who use arguments like, well, there's Kennewick Man, he's 10,000 years old, he was found in blah blah California, and he's 10,000 years old, and the Indians didn't cross the land bridge until a few thousand years later. That's like me sitting here right now and telling everybody that last week someone stole my credit cards, and I'm really annoyed because a person who stole my credit cards has a bad credit history. Who cares? You know, again, it's justifying. It's like, oh no, white people were in America first. It's Kennewick Man. Whites were in America first. The reality is, anti-whites aren't saying, give the country back to the Indians. They're saying, you white folks stole it off the Indians, therefore we're now going to hand it over to the Mexicans. Or whoever else they can find to replace us. It doesn't have to be Mexicans. It's whatever race is most convenient to ethnically displace white people in white countries.
Yeah,
so
because,
Europe
Indians, Indians doesn't get it any better if they add 100 million Mexicans.
Exactly, and that's the thing about anti-whites, and I know we already know this, but You know, anti-whites don't really care about Mexicans. When they make arguments about justifying mass Mexican immigration into the USA, or when they make an argument about the poor Native American Indians and all this stuff, in the end of the day, their solution to what they perceive as the mistreatment of American Indians is to simply flood the land of the Indians with Mexicans. Now, I'd like to ask a Native American Indian how that actually helps any injustice perceived or real or otherwise that may or may not have been done to the American Indians in the past. How does that, you know, let's just say we were very bad to the Native American Indians, therefore, to make things up to the Native American Indians, we're going to hand the country over to the Mexicans. Right. So let's not fool each other. When anti-whites talk about the Native American Indians, they don't care. They don't care about Native American Indians. I think there's a famous example in Norway, and you are Norwegian, Hans, so just tell me. There was a spate of rapes against young white Norwegian girls in various big cities in Norway. And the rapes were being carried out by non-white immigrant men. Mostly it was gang rapes, etc. Okay. Now, in Norway, I know for a fact that I actually know many Norwegians. You do have some pretty hardcore feminist groups in Norway. And as far as I'm aware, and please correct me if I got this wrong, as far as I'm aware, none of these hardcore feminist groups in Norway came down heavy and kicked up a fuss with all the young white Norwegian girls getting gang raped in various Norwegian cities by non-white immigrant men. And a famous Norwegian female politician actually hinted that, she, in so many words, what she actually said was, well, it may be the young Norwegian girls' own fault for not dressing appropriately.
Yeah.
And even at that point, not one single Norwegian feminist group that I'm aware of said a damn word. Am I right about that?
I think so.
I think you'll find that I am. And the point I make is very simple. Feminist groups, yeah, there are a lot of useful idiots involved who probably believe half the rubbish they're talking about. But feminist groups, the people behind those movements, didn't really give a flying what's it about the rights of women. If you went to a feminist group, as a white woman, if you went to a feminist group and said, I got passed over for promotion by this guy, this white guy, and in the history of the company, only a white male has ever held that position, and they will fight your corner tooth and nail. If you go to that same feminist group as a white woman and say, I got gang raped by a group of African immigrants, they will tell you in so many words that you are a whore and you asked for it. That's pretty much what's going to happen.
Yeah, basically. Right? And, you know...
That's it. And the point is, feminist groups aren't really there for the rights of women. They're there to help attack Western civilization. They don't attack mosques in European countries or Muslim clerics in European countries who openly say things against women that are absolutely medieval in European terms. Where are the feminist groups? They're nowhere to be seen. A few years ago, I was in a hotel lobby in London. There was a hotel bar. And drinking at the bar in the hotel, it was pretty late. And these young Americans, it turned out, just that's who they happened to be, they just turned up at the hotel bar. They were staying in the hotel that night. And they were visiting London, but while they were there, they'd been speaking with some anti-whites over the internet. And at the time, there was some Christian church in some village in England where the minister or the priest, I can't remember if it's a Protestant or Catholic, you know, the vicar, whatever, had been speaking out against homosexual marriage. And so they'd made contact over the internet with some British, you know, gay activist groups. These kids weren't gay. They were all in their early 20s. They were not gay. But they were actually going to meet up with these British kids the following day and get a train out of London to this village somewhere outside London and demonstrate. So I started telling them they're just a few short miles away from where they were actually sitting right now, from the hotel bar. There was actually another church, as I called it, where every single weekend the leader of that church is preaching that homosexuals should be stoned to death. And I started telling them that this church is only a few short stops on the underground, on the subway, from where they're standing right now. And I got these people so wound up, we were very nearly going to get a taxi there and then and firebomb the place. And when I got them right at the very height of emotion and anger, I then dropped the bombshell that this church was actually a Muslim mosque. And it was the Finsbury Park Mosque in London. At the time, it was in the news quite a lot.
Yeah.
And it was like that these so-called gay activists, who are just anti-whites, it's all branches of the same sick religion. It was like the programs running inside their heads just crashed, and they didn't know how to answer. Basically, they were just useful idiots. But they couldn't probably understand themselves why there was a big contradiction between in their eyes, where their brains should have been. But the reality is the people who programmed them, the people who, you know, programmed them, don't really care about gays, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
This is about attacking, this is about bringing down Western civilization.
White people.
Well, that's it. That's the big thing. I do know it's an attack on all fronts. Yeah,
you know, I just want to make a point about, you talked about the indigenous people. Now, I see in America, anti-whites use the protect the rights of indigenous people. Because in America, the indigenous people are so-called Indians. Mm-hmm. But anti-whites don't care about indigenous people in Britain, because in Britain, indigenous people are white people.
Yeah.
So just, you know, that's just their mentality. You know, if I said to some who are protecting the indigenous people rights in America, say that, okay, then Germany can kick out all the non-whites if they want to, because they are indigenous in Germany. You're all in favor of that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Of course they wouldn't.
that to me is a much better way than talking about Kennewick Man. Or again, I'm not an American, but I don't really see the point in trying to say the guy who stole my car had a drink driving conviction. I just don't get it. I really don't get it. And quite honestly, if somebody said to me last week, a guy stole my wallet, and I'm really angry because the guy's got a terrible credit history, I'm going to think that guy's either retarded or psychologically there's something wrong. And that's when I say, and I know I'm also a victim of this myself, and I when I look back on things that I've said and I realize I've been carrying the same baggage myself, so please don't think I'm putting myself up on a pedestal here, but when you can step back and have a look at, I mean, really, when someone talks about the plight of the Native American Indians, and at the same time, you know, their solution is to give the country to the Mexicans, to sit there and talk about Kennewick Man or talk about how whites built America and all the founding fathers were white, that's like somebody saying to me, a guy stole my car and he's got a drink driving conviction. I'm going to think that person has got some mental baggage. I'm going to think there's something going on in that person's psychology that's not right, or that there's something wrong.
And we need to state what we want. You know, we are against, and then we basically say the mantra. We're against white genocide, and we think that you support it. And if all you want is to give some Mexicans education, well, we can do that and send them back.
Yeah, I kind of like Bob Whitaker's line. Well, if you think the country was stolen, give your piece of the country back.
Yeah, you know. And so, but you're also talking about these Norwegian girls who were raped,
uh-huh.
And these feminists who said that, well, they should address the better
appropriate. Yeah. They didn't respect the culture of the men who raped them.
Yeah, you know, that's an assumed white superiority. And if these white girls were walking in Africa and they were getting attacked by a lion, everyone would think it's okay. They shouldn't go in front of a lion. Then it's the white girl's fault. And if the same white girl gets home to Norway and walks in front of an African and gets attacked,
mm-hmm.
they still say it's, you know, animal or the African's fault. No, it's her fault because she should have known that she can't walk like that in front of an African.
I take your point. Like, it can also be used as a good debating technique. Are you accusing non-white men of being no better than animals?
I just try to point out that these people assume white superiority.
Yeah,
I mean anti-whites do.
Yeah, I agree, and I know the boss pointed out as well. I'm not disagreeing with you. There's a couple of things I talked about it before. You've got a thing like a consistent message, but then you've also got how you're going to adapt it and how you're going to, you know, when you break off to take on someone personal in a debate, then you still got to stay on message, but you've got to, I don't know, that's where it gets complicated, because I had some debates and I find myself getting way off message.
Yeah, well, you know, what I did was that I said what I was against. You know, I referred to what is happening in the real world. You know, we have mm-hmm. immigration, integration, assimilation for all white countries. Anti-racists argue for that, and that's why I think they are anti-white. They talk about a brown future, and that's all of their arguments leads towards a brown future. So they want to destroy white people. I'm against that.
I agree. A little thing
is, and then you say, you know, if these people say something, and then you accuse them of being anti-white, and try to explain that what they really want is what you just talked about. But if it isn't, you know, you can't say they are anti-white. You should just say, it seems to me like you're anti-white, because you support this. Do you see where I'm going?
Yeah, I do. I think we're both using very similar techniques when we did the mock debates, and they worked pretty well.
Yeah. So,
I think
it's... Because then you get the point across. And I think it's important, whatever you do, getting points across.
Yeah, and also to keep, like you said, to keep putting that label in there, anti-white. You know, they're going to label us inside out, back to front, and upside down. You know, racist, white supremacist, hater, Nazi, Holocaust denier. And if all we can do is, like Heidelheim says, I know it isn't easy because we don't have the whole corporate media on our side, quite the opposite, but we can, at least on a personal level, and if all people are listening to it, some of them will start to pick up on it, which is even better. We've got to label these sick so-and-sos anti-white. People may notice that I used to use the term anti-white racist, but I got pulled on it by a couple of bugsers, and I was made to see the error of my ways, and so I think I've already used it once in this recording. I didn't mean to, but I'm not using it so much anymore now. I'm sticking to anti-white and not putting the R word after it. Sometimes it still slips out occasionally, but I am conscious of it.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing with this radio things we're doing. We're trying to find out what is working and how we can frame our arguments or statements or make our points in a better way so that more white people will be aware of the ongoing program of genocide against our race.
Just very quickly, if you do get a chance to kick off a debate, and we're not always this lucky, but if you get the opportunity, the strongest way, and you've already touched upon it, Adelheim, is to start a debate, is to say, well, I just find that everything aunties say, in the end, always amounts to the same thing. No more white people. Can you prove me wrong? and you'll be amazed how they still manage to sort of backflip out of that one. But that is a very strong way. It's like if you're a general and you're going to kick off a battle, every good general, where possible, if he gets the opportunity, will give his army the high ground. And so kicking off a debate with, well, can you prove me wrong about this? Everything anti say always seems to amount to no more white people. Something along those lines. It's again, I'm not saying it's a silver bullet. I'm just putting something out there. If you get a chance to control where the debate is going, and you get a chance to set out your soldiers, get them on the high ground, get them in the, you know, try and get your enemy in an ambush, in the killing zone.
Basically use the mantra, I think, is a great thing.
Yeah, yeah, but if you set up the high ground first, then you're going to attack with a mantra. You know, you're going to all white countries, only white countries, and anti-white and stuff like this. Just a very quick thing. We spoke about it before, and I just wanted to put it out there. It's kind of, we've got more pressing things to concern ourselves with at this very moment in time, but I believe 100 years from now, maybe 1,000 years from now, when people look back at this point in history, people are going to still be asking themselves, how on earth did this whole anti-white genocide ideology take root at the very, very highest level among the established government, media, and education system of all white countries, and only white countries, all pretty much at the same time? I still marvel sometimes. And I know that right now we're stuck in the middle of the battle, and maybe it's a question for the future, but just want to put that out there, because I still, sometimes at night, I don't lose too much sleep over it, but sometimes I do stay awake for a few minutes thinking, how on earth, if it was only America, and let's say Britain, because Britain tends to follow America, and we have the same language, and our media is all American. If it was only Britain and America, and it was only, well, America stole the land off the Indians and enslaved the blacks, and Britain colonized half the world and practiced slavery. If it ended there, fair enough. But how on earth did this sick ideology of ethnically displacing your own people take root in the established education system, media, and government, every single political party, Labour, Conservative, Democrat, Republican, whatever the Norwegian equivalent of that is, how did it just get hold at the very highest level? You know, if it was all just a group of anti-white students demonstrating on the streets, that'd be one thing. But it's like at the very highest level of our society, on all corners of our elites in the media and education, etc., it took root not just in America and Britain, but at the same time, across the whole of Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. I do find it extraordinary. I don't know if anybody's got an answer. Post your answer on Bugs. Go to General Comments 6 and give me the answer. It'll probably be General Comments 15, because Bugs is picking up a lot of traffic, which is great news. So go to General Comments 15 on Bugs. And
Bugs Radio.
Go to Bugs Radio and just put your answer in. How on earth did this anti-white genocidal sickness ideology take root across the highest levels at the elites on all and only white countries all pretty much together? If anyone's got an answer, I'd love to know. Do you have an answer, Adelheim?
Well, I mean, I just see that there's an anti-white mentality out there, and I do think it has something to do with we feel too superior, and I also think there are some ethnic groups exploiting that.
It's pretty hard, you know. That is to say, sorry, go on, carry on, sorry.
Oh, just make your point.
I'll sorry to interrupt you. regarding that particular question, I spent the first 3 years on Stormfront trying to avoid the Jewish issue. And I've just been reading the blog wrote today about people who are obsessed with the Jewish issue. And I think anybody who knows me or listens to what I've had to say or reads my posts or my comments knows that I'm not someone who's obsessed with the Jewish issue. But I'm coming at it from a different angle. I'm someone who deliberately tried to ignore completely the Jewish issue for a couple of years. And I have to say that it's like trying to ignore a 5-ton elephant who keeps peeing in your face.
But you know, once we establish the mantra, once we establish that there is an ongoing program of genocide against our race, and anti-racists are anti-white, we wouldn't have too much trouble pointing out that Jews call themselves anti-racist.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, Adelheim. I can hear you now. Yeah, you dropped out for a little bit.
Yeah, we're cutting off, but we've had a good hour. So if you can tie it up here, yeah?
Yeah, okay.